This brings us to item 14.5, report from town clerk. This is regarding the update to our town bylaw, but I believe we have speakers here today, Mr. Larimer. So at this time, I'd like to invite, I believe it's Allison Lester joining us at the table for a presentation. Or chance to speak. It's a 10-minute rule as per normal. Yeah, perfect. So Ms. Lester, I'll just hold up the old fingers when we're down to those 2 minutes. And thank you for your patience this evening. I know we have Mr. Newby, Chloe Craig, other members of the board of Transition House. So welcome.
Thank you. My name is Allison Lester, and I'm here in my capacity as Secretary of the Board of Directors of Transition House. Supporting me tonight are members of the board, along with our Executive Director. And here to listen to the discussion are also members of the Community Liaison Committee. We're here tonight to express our concern about the proposed amendment to the ECE licensing bylaw. And there are really two items to discuss. One is the overall goal of the amendment itself, being to limit the number of emergency shelters in Coburg. And I'll come to that in a moment. But at the outset, for our organization's perspective, the more concerning aspect of the amendment is the impact that the language of this amendment will have on the operations of Transition House. So the language of the proposed amendment is that there be no more than 2 emergency care establishment licenses issued by the town at any one time. It doesn't say emergency care establishments. It specifically speaks to licenses. Now, on this face, this may seem relatively innocuous. We have Cornerstone and we have Transition House. 2 licenses. Great. No problem. However, the problem that is not apparent on a plain reading of the amendment is that in order to operate, Transition House has been mandated by the town to have 2 licenses. The building is owned by Northumberland County, and the shelter itself is operated by Transition House. So back in November when we were applying, the town took the position that we required 2 licenses. So what that means for us is that if the amendment in its current form passes, there will be 3 licenses issued by the town. And the language doesn't give the director any discretion to issue further licenses in these circumstances. And furthermore, every year we have to reapply for a new license. So what's going to happen, November, we'll come to apply for our license. The town of Coburg will say, well, we already have Cornerstone, so we only have room for 1 more license, and Transition House will be forced to shut its doors. So we're really hoping that the drafting of this bylaw in this specific manner was an oversight, that the town is not deliberately attempting to create conditions that would prevent Transition House from operating. So we're here today to ask you as a council, if you feel that you must pass the amendment, to at least amend the language so that the important work that Transition House is doing can continue. I would propose that this could be achieved by changing the language to state that there can be no more than 2 emergency care establishments versus no more than 2 emergency care licenses. Now, that being said, we do want to address the amendment as a whole. The goal being to cap the number of emergency shelters in the town of Coburg. Transition House is strongly opposed to the town of Coburg limiting the availability in this way. The amendment gives the Director of Legislative Services the sole discretion to increase the number of licenses in Coburg to ensure equal distribution of emergency shelters in other municipalities. In other words, the director can issue an additional license, but he can also refuse a shelter, and based on the current wording, refuse a license to Transition House unless there are an equal number of shelters in other municipalities. It appears that this is an effort on the part of the town to force Northumberland County, which of course has jurisdiction over housing measures pursuant to the Housing Services Act, to open shelters outside of Coburg. While it would be wonderful if we could have shelters in every municipality, the truth is there are limited resources, and they should be focused in the area where the primary need exists, which is Coburg. Earlier this evening, the CAO of the county, Jennifer Moore, spoke to the idea of equitable distribution of services. In other words, let's focus our services on where there is need. The language of this bylaw talks about equal distribution amongst municipalities, which is a slightly different idea because it talks about there being an equal number. So that could be interpreted quite easily by the director to say, well, there isn't a shelter in Brighton and there isn't a shelter in Campbellford, so we don't want one in Coburg. It seems to me to be an incredible waste of resources to compel the county to open shelters that might be underutilized simply because the town of Coburg doesn't want to accept that the majority of clients needing shelters are located here. And I wish to remind you that the town of Coburg, being the seat of Northumberland County, has access to many services that other municipalities in the county don't have. We have the primary, most of the social services are located here. We have the benefit of a brand new long-term care facility, increased job opportunities. The list of benefits to Coburg is long. And for years, we've benefited from these services. However, now that we're facing quote unquote negative consequences, the town is trying to shift the problem elsewhere. We can't cherry pick the good stuff that being the seat of the county brings. If we want access to the increased services that we have to accept all that comes with it. Now, rather than bicker over who is getting more than who in this scenario, what we would ask this council to consider is putting its energy towards working collaboratively with Transition House and our other partners to improve the quality of services. Additionally, the immense discretionary power granted to the director in the proposed amendment effectively transfers control of the emergency shelter system in all of Northumberland County to one Town of Coburg staff member. There's no requirement that any kind of report or study be prepared to consider the best possible location of other shelters. It's wholly up to the discretion of one individual. Now, Northumberland County has a staff with expertise in the area of housing services with access to crucial information regarding our needs. With this amendment, the town of Coburg would effectively be ignoring these resources and leaving it up to the discretion of one person's opinion. Now, I know the director of legislative services, while certainly capable in many regards, does not necessarily have expertise in matters of housing and homelessness. We recognize that the town of Coburg is searching for answers to the growing population of unhoused individuals in the town. However, we're asking you to really consider what the impact of this amendment would be. If shelter beds are not available in Coburg, is an unhoused person really likely to pick up and move to Brighton or to Campbellford when the services that they need to rely on are all located here? No. Instead, by limiting the number of shelter beds in Coburg, an individual may choose instead to remain on the street or join an encampment here, thus exacerbating the problem. The answer in my submission is not to limit the ability of Northumberland County to open emergency shelters. Rather, we'd ask that the town of Coburg find ways to work with groups who are doing the work already to manage the situation here where it exists. Now, I'd like to conclude my remarks with some good news. In the 5 months since we have opened, despite what feels at times like an avalanche of negativity aimed at 310 Division Street, we have accomplished so much. I am so proud of our staff who have managed to secure partnerships with the following organizations to support our clients and work towards getting them permanently housed. The Canadian Centre for Addictions, the YMCA, Ontario Addiction Treatment Centres, Northumberland Humane Society, Hope and Light Outreach, Salvation Army, the Legal Centre, Serenity Addiction Recovery Group, Northumberland Hills Hospital Community Mental Health Services, Divine, Community Paramedicine, the Help Center, Coburg Police Service, and the Mental Health Engagement and Response Team. So I'm asking you to consider this tremendous work in making your decision about the proposed amendment. 310 Division Street is actively working to support our unhoused population, and we're asking you, the Town Council and Town Staff, to work with us and not against us in this pursuit. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lester. I do appreciate the presentation. I do have a couple questions, and I'm happy to be interrupted at any point by council, but did you reach out to Mr. Larmer to understand the interpretation of the bylaw, or are you going off sort of the interpretation of the board?
Well, no, we did not reach out to Mr. Larmer. As you know, we did have a meeting with you to discuss this matter in advance.
Correct. And I didn't want to catch up. I just, in that meeting, I stated very clearly that this wasn't going to be an issue. And are you aware that CAO Jennifer Moore reached out to Coburg CAO as far back as April 11th on this exact same concern? And on April 15th, Mr. Larmer sent a letter through the CAO to Jennifer Moore explaining that there is no issue because the town of Coburg, under its bylaw, considers both the Transition House and the county as one license, despite having to apply for two, that under our current bylaws, that's considered one license. And so this concern you have is really negligible because of the fact that the individual who would be interpreting the bylaw sees no issue.
Okay, well, we actually have two licenses. There are two licenses with different license numbers on the wall at Transition House. So I'm not sure what interpretation leads the town to now say, after having insisted that we receive two licenses, that, oh no, it's actually just one license.
Well, it's not interpretation. It's our professional experienced staff who inform us of the way this works. I guess moving forward, I'm just kind of concerned because I'm now in receipt of a letter from Northumberland Pride directed to me that states the same concern that you're bringing to us today, that they state clearly that the town of Coburg is now considering reducing the number of shelter, which is going to effectively close Transition House. So my question is how are groups like Northumberland Pride and many members of the public who are associated with Transition House dealing with issues when you didn't take the steps to even reach out to the bylaw department to clarify your interpretation?
Well, with all due respect, Your Worship, I'm appearing here. I sent correspondence to council indicating my concerns. And at no time did the clerk reach out to us to explain we had a misinterpretation.
I met the entire board and I explained it. And then I was told that I was incorrect in that interpretation by your board. So I did take that time before the meeting to meet with you and to explain that that's not a concern. So we can move forward.
I'd like to address that because, quite frankly, the bylaw does not read that way.
That's your interpretation of it. With the greatest of respect, Ms. Lester, I do understand that. And this can't really be a back and forth. And so I guess I do have some other questions. If no one else on council, by all means, Councilor Darling, and then we'll go to Councilor Mouton.
Just in regard to the license, it says under here there shall be no more than two emergency care establishment licenses. Are both licenses issued to 310 Division Street, that same type of license, or is there a difference in the type of license that's issued? That's Mr. Larmer, if he could clarify.
Procedure is the speaker and then...
So we have questions of the speaker. After the speaker is done, then we can move on.
I will clarify that after.
We'll go to Miriam first, by all means.
If it's on the same topic, I would defer to you if you have if you'd like to continue that, and then I'll ask my question after if that's okay, Mr. Mayor.
Almond.
My question is you said that having limiting the shelters in Coburg is going to be detrimental to the unhoused population in the surrounding areas, and that's what you were saying. My question is if somebody is unhoused in Campbellford or Colburn, Brighton, is it appropriate to move them out of their residence or out of their hometown and move them here where they may not know anybody, their family's not here, friends are not here? And then do you not think it would be more appropriate to find shelters in the individual municipalities all around?
Well, as I said during my presentation, as I said during my presentation, that would be fantastic. However, it's not necessarily economically feasible to open a shelter in every single jurisdiction.
By all means.
So I guess my question is then, so the default, Coburg is where all the unhoused people should go, in your opinion, because of economic reasons. But if we looked at the social services budget, there is ways, and it's quite a big budget from the county, they could open up in potential different areas.
Well,
it doesn't have to be the size of 310. It could be many different shapes and sizes of houses.
And during the presentation from Jennifer Moore earlier this evening, she spoke about efforts the county is doing to put housing in these other jurisdictions. The fact of the matter is the vast majority of people who are using the services of 310 come from the Coburg area. We have stats on that.
So the stats that were presented was actually showing that more than 48% don't come from the Coburg area. That was presented by county council.
So I have the numbers here that I received today. Of users from Northumberland County, 72% come from the town of Coburg.
Yes, but that's of the users from Northumberland County. If you take the entirety of the users of the group, it's over 50% not from Coburg.
Actually, it's 55% from the town of Coburg. 55%
of the entirety of the use.
Yes.
So then 45% 45%. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So 45% of the use, almost half of the people at 310 aren't from Coburg.
But the majority are. And it comes down to a practical matter that we need to focus our services where we have the greatest need.
I appreciate that. And I think I have a different question. Ms. Lesser, I couldn't help but read the last minutes of the Chamber of Commerce meeting, in which both you and Chloe Craig spoke about your concerns about the ECE bylaw hurting businesses in downtown. And I believe Ms. Chloe Craig spoke about how the negative sort of spin being put on 310 Division. I'm curious, I don't know, but sitting on both the board of the Chamber of Commerce and on the Transition House board, is there not a bit of a conflict of interest in that case?
On me?
Well, yeah, I'm just curious. Because if you sit on both the Transition House board and on the Chamber board, should we, like, I'm honestly asking, how can you sit on both boards and then not declare a conflict? I'm just curious.
Okay, well, I don't see that that's a, okay, first of all, I'd like to correct something because, Your Worship, you did not read the minutes of that meeting. You were present at that meeting without notifying anybody that you were attending the meeting. You came in at the end. We realized that you were there. So just to be clear for the record.
Should it matter if I'm there or not? What happens?
Well, you arrived at a meeting without telling anybody that you were participating in the meeting, which I didn't think was appropriate. But that is not the question here. The question is whether I personally have a conflict of interest, and no. There is, just because I also work to represent business owners, that doesn't mean not all business owners are opposed to Transition House. I can think of a couple that repeatedly send letters to this town of Coburg, but I think it's very, very wrong-headed of you to suggest that all business owners would be opposed to Transition House. I'm a business owner myself as well. Does that put me in a conflict of interest? No.
Fine. I have no problem. Councillor Mouton.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. And I just want to acknowledge that I appreciate that you were not one of the people that had crafted the bylaw or the amendment. And I appreciate, because I know you're an expert in reading such documents, that I appreciate the plain reading and the highlighting the perhaps what there might be some confusion with the terms. And I did not know, for example, about the two licenses, the two. So that's a question, I think, that I would, seek clarity. But I have a question for you. And pardon my lack of awareness of the whole system, but I have some concern. I have heard some concern with regards to services being in Coburg, and therefore there is a large focus here. I'm concerned too that if someone doesn't have a fixed address, I don't know, for example, how one determines where someone is from. I ran into that problem when I worked for Elections Canada and I was signing up couch surfers. I got in trouble with the adjacent district officer. But my question to you is, the way the system works now, because I look at, there's hubs, there's services, there's hubs here throughout. How can it be made better based on what you know, your experience on that? How could the hub system work better? Because right now, a lot of people are feeling very, very much affected in a negative way of how things are happening now. So is there something that could be better?
Well, I think, thank you for that question.
I think it comes down to the idea of meeting people where they are. And so we talked about statistics, but really that was just to prove a point that we want to find people where they need help and provide that help where they are. As it happens, we have a large population in Coburg, so we are focusing our attention in Coburg. Transition House is actively seeking financing to purchase a vehicle.
So those are the kinds of things. Let's make it easier for people to access services. As I've said a couple of times, if we could have a trans or a 310 Division Street in every community, well, of course, we wouldn't want to have the need to do that. Ideally, that would be fantastic because of the services that we're able to provide to people where they're located. So in my view, that is the ideal scenario. But obviously, we're restricted by finances and by geography. And so what we are focusing on is providing services where the need is greatest. And the point I want to make today is that happens to be Coburg.
Perfect. I guess the question I would then follow up with is, we're in receipt of a letter from the chair of your organization, Transition House, that makes some pretty disparaging, erroneous statements about this town council and our hard workers of the Coburg Protection Services. And I just wanted to know where you stand on the statement that says, Mrs. McDonald, it is clear that town staff and town council would really just prefer that the clients of Transition House go to some other town. I let me explain. I find it interesting when it's the Coburg Fire Department that were at the at the encampment every day, making sure the tents were safe for individuals. I find it difficult when Coburg Bylaw was at the encampment almost on a daily basis, making sure the residents there were safe. And here we have the chair of the board accusing us of trying to target our most vulnerable and accusing our staff of trying to hurt people. And I'm just wondering if that's your position as well.
So the purpose of today's delegation is not to speak to matters of bylaw enforcement. That was a letter that was sent to members of council responding to a very specific and a different issue. However, the sentiment carries over. In this case, we're talking about an amendment to a bylaw that effectively says, all right, we'll take up to a certain number. And after that, we want you to go somewhere else. We'll only take so many people as long as everybody else is getting some too, essentially is what you're saying. And so,
no, I think what we're saying is that 55% of the residents at 310 are Coburgs and we should take care of them. And I think what we're hearing is there's 45% of residents who aren't from Coburg, and that perhaps considering Transition House was operating a 4-bedroom house for almost a decade in the town of Coburg as the sole emergency shelter, that we could easily open up a house in another community so that they don't have to travel 50. But I'll leave that for to sort of think about. And I guess when I hear that the Transition Board believes that the chair of the Transition Board believes that we have been unduly targeting by the town of Coburg's bylaw department, 310 Transition, and then they use the comparison to the Cornerstone because they haven't. Are you aware that in the last 3 months that the number of complaints of bylaw against Cornerstone are, I believe, zero? And yet 310 has numerous. So I guess I'm just trying to understand the comparison that when we're actively engaged in a campaign of education over a several months period, that this education campaign is now being twisted to be some sort of targeting. And then the comparison is being used to Cornerstone, who doesn't have any complaints.
Well, Cornerstone has a very different population that attends its emergency services.
Good. Councillor Mouton.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, could I ask for some clarification? Rather, I'm not sure if this is officially a point of order, but I appreciate there's some very complex issues, but the item on our agenda has to do with amendments to the ECE bylaw, but I'm finding the discussion is going into areas on which I don't have information. I appreciate that there's more, but I'm getting lost in this because it sounds like there's a back and forth here.
Fair enough. It's not meant to be a back and forth. I'm just trying to understand. You see, I haven't had a chance to have a conversation with Transition House Board before in Coburg, and
except for on Monday.
Oh, correct. Thank you. Except for on Monday. And so I guess the question I'm having is it seems that there is some serious misinformation circulating. It seems that prior to this opportunity that there's no communication between county and Transition House. We're answering questions to the county almost weeks ago that information is not transitioning down to its operator. And so, not only are we having meetings and then we're having this delegation, but these questions were summarily dealt with almost several weeks ago. And so I'm just trying to understand, it seems like between the correspondence I'm getting from different organizations across Northumberland, the letters we're receiving accusing town staff, that it's a good opportunity to sort of understand, because this opposition to the bylaw seems to be linked to some of this.
Just to clarify, the letters and everything that you're referring to, council does not have copies of that.
No, actually, they do, Councillor Todd. They're on the agenda for this evening, as well as they were addressed to all of council.
There was, perhaps I could clarify, there was one letter sent to council, released nowhere else, but just sent to council regarding the inspection. The letter that I wrote earlier this week was added to the agenda, and there is, I believe, a letter from Northumberland Pride on the agenda as well. Those are the letters at play. The purpose of today's comments was to address the amendment to the ECE bylaw. And just to speak to a matter that's come up a couple times and I haven't had a chance to answer the question, is if the bylaw is being interpreted a different way, then we would appreciate having something in writing so that we can rely on that and know that the rules are not going to be changed when it comes time to renew our license in November.
And I think that was the point, that that letter was sent almost 2 weeks ago to...
It was county. Not sent to Transition House. We are not the same entity as Northumberland County.
They are your funders. And I think that it's a little bit unnerving that we are communicating something to the county and that its service providers aren't being given that information. So, you know, nothing to Transition House, but why isn't the county providing that information to you is a good question, I think, to be asked.
It's not a question I can answer here, and neither does it necessarily matter.
And I appreciate that. Any further questions? No. Thank you very much, Ms. Lester. We do appreciate your presentation. Do you motion on the floor? So moved by Councillor Buehler. Do we have a second at this time? So moved by Councillor Dowling. Questions, Councillor Dowling?
Yeah, just to go back, thank you for the clarification, Mr. Larmer. The emergency care establishment licenses, are they the same license that Transition House and the county have, or is there a slight difference in the license? The wording says no more than two emergency care establishment licenses. Well, 310 is an establishment and Cornerstone is an establishment. Is there a difference between the third license?
I mean, so through you, Your Worship, to members of council, I like to phrase this just a little bit more than just that question. And just regards in the emphasis of this report, this report is a staff report based on direction from this council in regards to specific bylaw that's proposing these amendments, and that was done September of 2024. I'm just going to reference your question, but in just a little bit of point form I've created, and this is only a reference to the letter that has been attached to the agenda. With respect to the presenter, I haven't been able to understand the response of the verbal report that's given. It's pretty close, so I'm just going to respond onto the letter that was received in relation to your response. So, the emergency care establishment known as Transition House, located at 310 Division Street, operates having a business model which includes an operator and an owner of the property, which is clear. Accordingly, this requires both parties to be licensed to carry out a trade under license regime and providing an ECE. So the letter that was put on the agenda and presented to this council did have a section of the letter that actually advised, I just want to put this on the matter too, the location of 10 Chapel Street is no longer being used in the ECE accordingly to the former license and will be canceled, the renewal. Due to the bylaw that is actually, if a property that's licensed that's currently not operating as ECE has been confirmed by the letter, and also we follow up with the licensee, the town will revoke that license because it's not being used as an ECE. So then we have Cornerstone, and then on Swain Street, and then now we have 310 Division Street, so two. In the circumstance of location at which the ECE, so emergency care establishment, trade is being provided, and the business model requires that both the operator and the owner obtain a license, This does not constitute two separate trades, nor two separate licensed premises. Rather, the location is considered one licensed emergency care establishment premise. Applicable sections in the ECE bylaw include the following. Section 4.4, a license shall be obtained for each location for which an ECE trade is carried on. Failure to comply with the section constitutes an offense. Section 12.1, a partnership, corporation, association, or combination thereof shall be considered as a single applicant for any one trade at one place of business. The description of the impact of the proposed amendment as provided in the letter has a bit of assumed assumptions and statements and claims that unfortunately aren't based in the fact established through consultation with town staff. So we have not had a conversation to provide that clarification to Transition House. And the licensing department is those that are administering the business license, the process. So that clarification can always be clarified if that's sought out. So had the board sought the clarification, acknowledged and subject, this could easily have been achieved by just contacting our offices to provide that report. And we would be very timely in a response to that process. So in summary for council, the relationship, which within the defined firms, as I've just stated, for owner and operator, which are defined in the ECE bylaw, relate in conjunction with an emergency care establishment and emergency care establishment property. Both of these are defined terms. For an institutional use on the same single lot, which we categorize as one emergency care establishment license for the purposes of maintaining the general intent and purpose of the bylaw and its amendments. If and when this bylaw is approved or amended, or depending on the decision tonight, staff will circulate the amendment to those who hold a current ECE license and communicate that there has been an amendment and how, if all, it may affect those current license holders to make sure that is clear and notice is provided of the passing. I just want to also recommend, just make a statement that I believe licensee has been looking at section 14 of the ECE in regards to the license term and transfer. So it does say 14.1 that every license issued under the bylaw shall expire with 1 year of being issued unless otherwise revoked or suspended prior to the date. So yes, Transition House or that licensee would have to reapply each year and provide an attestation that nothing has changed and that license will carry over. Irregardless of that, the fact that there are, as defined and as the town or license department is defining it, there will be two licenses issued to date in the town of Coburg. 310 as well as Swain Street.
Thank you, Mr. Lermer. That's very clear as to the licenses. Thank you.
We now have a mover and a seconder on the motion on the floor. Any further questions or comments? By all means, Councilor Maton.
Just to clarify, I did check the meeting agenda. There's only one letter attached to the agenda. And I'm not sure where the other letters that were being referred to landed. It's just a point of clarification.
Yep, it's fine. At this time, violence, Council Burkett.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to the Director, Director Larmer. So in regards to the existing licenses, because we already have two out there, as long as they're in compliance, they will be able to renew their license every year. So as long, and obviously if there was an issue, this is not to push out the current providers. So for example, another organization wants to come in and do the emergency like shelter or whatever, they would not push out this. These would have like a priority essentially because they're just renewing as long as they're in compliance. Is that correct?
Through you, Your Worship, to the member council. Yes, so every license has an annual renewal with an annual re-license fee. But not just the requirement of the number of licenses, but there's other factors within the entire bylaw that have to meet compliance each year as well too. And a conversation between the town and the licensee. The licensee might say that some requirements of license have changed, or maybe they like some updates, or at the time we've had conversations with the licensees, there might be some additional exemptions that they may want it to inquire as part of the application process, or just go ahead and just reapply based on assertion that nothing's changed. So like any licensing regime, cap on the amount of establishments or premises or trades for the license is not a new concept, just maybe a new concept with the ZCE. There is municipalities that actually license, for example, which is more common, group homes, and the distance between group homes and a community. So there is other licensing regimes out there that do a similar approach to this. This is just a different trade that might that is newer, but some of the same provisions are being provided in this bylaw, like other ones as well, too. So
I would like to say yes or no.
Oh, we like to say yes or no, that comes, but each renewal is based on a case on its own merit at the time of renewal. We're talking specifically with this one. Licenses are given. There is no issue right now because there will be two licenses in the town. But going forward, the town, if a license is issued, would work with that that provider anyways.
And just to follow up, and basically, if there is these changes or they want to update or when that renewal comes up, there will be obviously time that they're allowed time to operate, continue to operate as you work with through that with them on these exemptions or other requests. Is that correct? So are you, so say there's some changes or something that has happened, are they still able to operate while they're complying with maybe or doing some of these changes? I don't know if I...
Yes, if there is compliance with the bylaw, as always, yes, there would be no need to not halt operations.
Yeah. Okay, so seeing no further questions. Yes.
I'll call a recorded vote on this one.
Notice. The rules do narrow time, Mr. Larmer. If you're comfortable, we know the rules. We'll start with the caller and we'll move ourselves around the circle. By all means. Ms. Deputy Clerk, would you mind?
So for you, Your Worship, recorded vote has been called. I want to make one statement. There is a conflict of interest declared by members, so the voting numbers change based on the conflict because they are prohibited to vote by law. So the recorded vote will be through 6 rather than 7. Same majority of 4 would pass as part of the process.
Noted.
So recorded vote requested by Councillor Adam Biro. The call will go start with Adam Biro and go on clockwise rotation. So and. Sorry, I would miss as the clerk. I just make sure I say, let's just be clear. You don't have to take it again. That in vote in favor is stated by the member as yes, and those opposed would be stated as no. There is no abstentions. An abstention vote would be a vote in the negative. Starting now, Councillor Adam Biro.
Yes.
Councillor Brian Darling.
Yes.
Councillor Aaron Burkett.
Yes.
Councillor Miriam Mouton.
Yes.
Councillor Randy Barber.
Yes.
And Mayor Lucas Cleveland.
Yes.
Carried, Your Worship.
As that vote's passed, we now go back to the original motions that we have suspended. As that clears up, before we go into bylaws, correct with that, Mr. Larmer, we go back to the ones we pulled.
Yes, now we're
starting. Sorry, Deputy Mayor, by all means.
Thank you. Just per the procedure, I believe when we arrive to 4 hours into a meeting, we need to look to extend and we've hit that 4 hour mark.
Not to my problem. So is there a motion to extend it this time? So moved by Councillor Darling. What do we say? Cut off at 12 o'clock? Well, that gives us an hour. And we've got the pulled items and then we've got notices of motion. And that's her.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate that having just mentally looking forward to a time. I'm comfortable with midnight.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping well before midnight, but if we hit a hard line at midnight, we defer and push to the next council meeting. Okay, so I need that on the floor.
So moved by Councillor Darling, seconded by, we'll go with Deputy Mayor. All in favor? So moved. 5 minutes, then we'll get into the timeline.
Yeah. I know.